Happy Easter, everyone. What a joy to be with you. And while we would love to be with you in person, I am so grateful that you decided to join us online. You know, the question that I want to ask, and I think it's a great question for all of us, is have you ever had a moment in your life that changed all the moments afterward? Have you ever had that moment? You just saw a video about people that would say, these are the things that changed my life. I got married. I got a puppy. All of the different things that have changed our lives. You know, when I think about that question, one specific moment comes to mind. When I was a young kid, I used to occasionally sing in our church and sing solos in our church. And my mom would ask me to sing, and then I would sing. And how most of us have mothers that whenever we do something like that, this is their entire world, that their child is up on stage and is singing in church. Well, my mom had said, Chris, you haven't sang in a while, and I'd love to hear you sing. And she had a song that was called My Tribute. That was the song that she wanted me to sing. And she said, you would sound great singing this song. And I said, Mom, I really don't want to. It was kind of going through the late middle school stage at that time, having that awkwardness that you have in middle school about being in front of crowds and being around other people, voice changing, all of those things. And my mom insisted and said, you ought to do this. And so I did. And I remember that day as I walked into the church, I was nervous. I had butterflies. I stood in front when it came time for me to do my special solo, and the tape began to play. The music began to play. And as the music began to play, there was that spot at the very beginning that you sing out, how can I say thanks? The name of the song was called My Tribute. And I stood in front of God and everyone, and my opening line of how can I say thanks came out with that idea of reaching puberty, and it sounded something like this. Oh, wow. I opened my eyes, I looked in the crowd, and everybody's eyes were as big as saucers. And I looked at my mom, and she gave me that look like, I will never ask you to do anything again. And it was that moment that I realized that my singing career was over. But I did have a budding career that would come after that. Because as I realized that my voice was cracking and puberty had set on, I decided to do the entire rest of the song by dramatically saying the words. I didn't sing them, I just dramatically spoke them. And then I realized maybe my future is in rap music. Well, this idea of having a moment that changes everything is something that I know a lot of us are walking through in the course of our days. For many of us, we would have never guessed 2 months ago, probably all of us would have never guessed 2 months ago, that you would be watching an Easter service on front of your computer screen or your TV screen. You are used to dressing up and being ready and having Easter egg hunts and having groups of people together and having family gatherings and going to church and making that moment. And maybe for you, this was the only time you went to church all year, but you did it because you made sure that mom was happy and you were going to do those things. And now here you are sitting in your room and you're realizing that because of the events that have taken place over the last few weeks, everything has changed. And I'm here to say today that the resurrection of Christ changes everything. One of the New Testament leaders, and he wrote half of the New Testament, was a fellow by the name of Paul, and he would pen these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. He would say this, if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And so let me ask you this question, because I think it's a great question for every one of us to answer, and it's simply this: why should we believe that Jesus rose from the dead? You see, a lot of people talk about Jesus. People who are far from God talk about Jesus. Jesus has a very popular setting in our culture. People talk about him as a great man. People talk about him as an incredible healer. People use the phrase, he's my savior, he's my Lord. And for you, you may be asking the question, why? What's the big idea with Jesus? And in this idea of Jesus, some of the things, like him performing miracles and him being kind and him telling us to love our neighbor and him telling us to reach beyond where we would normally reach and to help others, to love our enemies, those kinds of things for many of us have become how we see Jesus. But for those of us in the room, for those of us who are listening, who call ourselves Christians, the real idea, the real message of Christ is the fact that he rose from the dead. And the question for so many and everyone should be is, why should I even believe that he rose from the dead? Because this changes everything. Let me give you four quick reasons as why this happened. First off, for you to know this, that Jesus of Nazareth, that was who he was. He was from a little town called Nazareth. But Jesus of Nazareth was executed and crucified. You need to understand the validity of this. You see, every one of the New Testament authors who wrote the first books of the Bible and told the story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all would agree to the fact that Jesus was executed and crucified. If you want to know, it was even mentioned among this idea of non-Christian followers. There was a Jewish historian named Josephus. There was another one named Tacitus. And they even mention it in their writings. And neither of these individuals ever converted to Christianity. They weren't even halfway in Christianity. They were anti-Christianity. And they still mention the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was executed and crucified. And here's the deal about it, is if Jews believed that Jesus was a threat, then they would have certainly handed him over to the Romans because crucifixion was a normal thing among Romans. While it wasn't invented by the Romans, we know that hundreds upon hundreds of individuals during the reign of Rome in the early days were provided the idea of death and capital punishment was the very thing that was known as crucifixion. Generally, they would do this right outside the city entrance. We live in a town here called Kokomo, and for years, the main entrance to Kokomo from the south side of our community was US 31. It's now US 931. Our church is located right off of that main thoroughfare. And what would happen in the early days is that those who were convicted of the crimes that were set out that required execution would have been killed right outside the city walls or the city gates. You see, the idea was that when somebody's traveling from one city to the next, then they would know how serious these folks were. And we know not just people from the Bible, but also other individuals who were not even prone to the things of Christianity said Jesus actually died and was crucified. We know, according to Scripture, that his grave was provided by a ruling council member of the Jews in Jerusalem, a guy named Joseph of Arimathea. And here's the interesting piece. Joseph of Arimathea would have been a leader among the Jewish folks. He would have been a spiritual leader among his community. And if Jesus didn't die, then he would have sought legal reparations because of the rumor that would have been transformed to the people in their day. And so we can believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And for us to do that, we need to know that Jesus of Nazareth was executed and crucified. The second thing for you to know is that the tomb was empty. Few critics deny the empty tomb. The unanimous testimony of the Bible affirms it. The Jews of this day have a special practice of honoring people's graves. And if this didn't happen, it would be looked at as tyranny, how they treated an empty tomb. You see, even to this day, when someone dies in the Jewish community in Jerusalem, what happens is that in that moment, their grave becomes a special place, and it's an honoring place, and you go to the graveside, and you honor the person who is in that graveside. You certainly would not open up the tomb. You certainly wouldn't go inside. Why? Because that's considered tyranny. It was also this idea of an empty tomb was central to the early church. If it isn't true, then the best way to squelch the movement is by producing a body, and it was never produced. Some believe that the early church leaders were either hallucinating or had a vision. You can find people who would talk about those things. But for you to know that there is no ancient example of any Jew raising from the dead spiritually, mystically, it was always something physical that would happen. It was this idea and understanding. You know, the early argument was that the disciples stole the body. You can go to Matthew chapter 28 in a Bible, and you can see where they begin to put this argument together. But if the disciples moved the body, then they would have been charged with desecrating a dead body, and they never were. The soldiers wouldn't make up the story because they would have been killed for losing the dead body that they were supposed to guard. All indications are that the tomb on this glorious morning was empty. The third thing about this idea of the resurrection is that the early church leaders believed Jesus had appeared to them in a tangible body. This belief transformed early leaders. It's inconsistent with ancient thinking of the Greeks and Romans. Prominent ancient thinker Homer saw the body as a prison to the soul, and he never desired the understanding of resurrection. Jews did believe in resurrection, but they saw it as corporate. You see, the idea was is that one day the entire nation would rise up. One day all of those Jews would rise up, not an individual. And that day when all the Jews would rise up and the Jewish nation would come back, that resurrection would happen at the end of time. And yet Jesus, a single individual, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and he did it in the middle of time. You see, the early church believed that Jesus appeared to them in a tangible body. The fourth thing is simply this, that the Christian church was founded. That this movement of a resurrection was so prominent that people decided that they were going to found a movement. Now, you have to understand that there were other movements, Jewish movements, that happened in the first century. But we know from history that every one of those Jewish movements died with its leader, or the best case scenarios is a couple of them lasted through the next of their kin. You see, the worst form of punishment was the cross. And what we know about the early church is that it became the symbol of this new movement. I mean, could you imagine somebody today in this world creating a movement in which they create beautiful jewelry with this idea of an electric chair tied around their neck? And people would be looking at it and saying, "What in the world are you doing?" But this became a movement. This idea of the early church and the cross became a symbol of the understanding that death cannot hold this leader down. And for you today, on this Resurrection Sunday, it gives you encouragement to know this. I mean, you think about it. Who would memorialize a dead Messiah with such cannibalistic symbolism? I mean, you think about how you and I, if you've been in a church, you probably have had communion. And what is communion? Communion is the memorializing of this dead body, the body and the blood of Christ. I mean, who does that kind of thing? You think about it in the same vein, the idea of baptism, which so many of us have taken a step and have accepted Christ and become baptized. And that idea of baptism symbolizes the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection. And then here's the issue. Why in the world would hundreds upon hundreds die for someone they never met. You know, this understanding of a question of why should we believe that Jesus rose from the dead is one that we know historically has accuracy to it. We know that we can trust in the fact that this is something that occurred. But here's the thing that I've learned over the time is that for many of us, it is useless. And the reason that it's useless is because Jesus' death and resurrection doesn't matter to me. And this idea for a lot of us of the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection remains in our head. You hear somebody like me that gives you, in some ways, a legal argument for why it happened, but then the question that never really gets answered, that Nova did an incredible job of answering for us, is a very personal question. And that question is simply this: why would Jesus' death and resurrection matter to me? Because you and I have a tendency to be so skeptical. Nova mentioned in these moments about James, who was the half-brother of Jesus. You know, it's interesting because when life change occurs for us, when something happens that changes everything, the hardest group of people to convince in change is our own family. I mean, it's such a difficult thing that Jesus faced it. In John chapter 7, verses 4 and 5, his own brothers, James one of them, his own family would say this: you can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, they're talking to Jesus, then show yourself to the world. And then in verse 5, the very next verse, it says this: even his brothers didn't believe in him. Transforming our family, recognizing, having them come to the realization that what we do matters, that the change that's occurred in us is real. Nova mentioned it because we find just a couple of, one book later in several chapters, that James, the half-brother of Jesus, who initially said that he didn't even believe in him, now is a church leader. He's a prominent church leader. And in Acts, we find this in Acts the 15th chapter. It says, when they had finished, James stood and said, brothers, listen to me. I mean, he went from not believing in his own brother, Jesus Christ, to being a leader in the first church that was created in the ancient city of Jerusalem. Gang, this story of Jesus' resurrection changes everything. For me, it's a launching pad of my faith. It's what gives me hope in these uncertain times. It empowers me in my personal mission on this earth. It's brought me from death. Years ago, where I was filled with a life that was filled with addictions and selfishness, to a life these days that's a 15-year marriage with 3 beautiful kids. And like Nova, it brought me from a skeptic asking the question, is this guy Jesus really all that he says that he is, to becoming a worshiper? It's brought me from self-dependent and self-sufficient to Jesus dependent. I know that in this season, many of us are trying to find a norm. We're trying to find something in our world because everything seems to change. I no longer go to a restaurant and sit down at a table with my family like I did just 2 months ago. I no longer walk into a grocery store to buy a few items and walk out and everything feels and looks normal. For many of us, our jobs have disappeared. For some of us, our families have been separated. The people that we love, people that are close to us, from my kids, my mom and dad, their grandparents, where they used to be able to see them many times a week and run up to them and give them hugs, is now replaced with things called social distancing, and they remain 6 feet apart with rubber gloves and face masks. And the reality for all of us is that everything has changed in our world. And the systems that you once knew are no longer working. That the stuff that you were once a part of is something that continues to go. The mission that you thought you were on to make sure that the company did what it was supposed to do, or that the system did what it was supposed to do, or that you were making this work for you, may no longer exist. The world that you created, in which you built your own systems and your own life and your own world, all of a sudden seems to be crumbling around you. The thought that your family was good and everything was fine and your marriage was strong, and now you go to different ends of the house and don't even talk, and your kids don't even want to be around, they're tired, and you are asking yourself, why in the world would all of this happen for you? Today may be the day that you allow Jesus Christ to change everything for you. His resurrection gave you and me the privilege and the opportunity to have a life that's filled with hope. To go from a life that I was working on my own systems and my own world, to a world and systems that's focused on a Savior who overcomes this world in the end. And so you may be asking, how am I going to get through this? Then today I want to ask you, would you just let Jesus change everything? You can do that. Even right there in the comfort of your own home. You can do that in this moment by inviting him into your heart. And I would encourage you to do this, even if you are a Christian and you say, I know that my hope is in Jesus Christ. I know that my hope is in the resurrection. I know that my hope is in eternity with Jesus. Then maybe even in this moment, it's time for you to let Jesus change everything in you. And so I invite you to pray this prayer with me today as you say yes to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, you paid the greatest price for dying on a cross when you did nothing wrong, but you died anyway and chose to die for me. Thank you for that. God, in this world where everything that I thought was certain, where the peace and the comfort of the things that were around me are no longer those things of peace and comfort, I come to you, Jesus Christ, and I ask you now, change everything in me. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for taking ownership of my life. Jesus, I pray this in your holy name. Amen. My prayer for you is that you would be willing to release, and because of the resurrection, let Christ change everything in you.